Will you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1? We're going to read verses 15 to 20. You're going to find it if you're in the Pew Bibles on page 1182. Page 1182, Colossians chapter 1. If you're in your own Bible, it's about 9/10 of the way through your Bible. It's right near the end. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. In the Bible I'm reading from, it is subtitled, The Supremacy of Christ. This is what Paul writes to the people of Colossae. He says to them, talking about Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Loving God, we thank You for that word that You give to us, and we pray Your blessing on us. Please open it up to us, help us to see who You are, that we know that we can count on You, that we can lean on You, and that we can trust in You. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was saying earlier, today is the last of our 10:30 services. From next week, we move into the two services in the morning, but not just moving into two services in the morning. We move into a new month, and we move into a new season in our church year. As far as our church calendar is concerned, and maybe a bit of the weather today as well, summer is moving on, and we're moving into a new season, into the autumn calendar. So we'll start seeing things starting up again, like our children's ministries and our youth ministries, life groups, Bible Focus, The Hub, Homer Club, PW, Bowls, a new year and a new season of activity. And of course, this is the last Sunday in the season of our vacancy. And next week, Stephen Lowry will lead us as our new minister for the first time. But it's not just the church that moves through seasons. We all do. We all move through different seasons. Schools went back this week, and some of our children, for them it wasn't just the start of a new school year. It might have been the start of a whole new school. Maybe their first ever school that they're going to. For our family, it's a new season because for the first time in 17 years, we're not sending somebody off to school this year. Like in our family, some of you are probably getting ready to head off to university or college, or maybe you're looking to start a new job. Life is full of different seasons. Seasons of work, seasons of rest, seasons of retirement, a season of caring for someone, a season of grief, the start of something new and the ending of something old. We all go through different seasons in life. Things change. Things end. New things begin. And in this letter that Paul writes to the Colossians, he gives us this beautiful passage that answers one of the most important questions that we will ever need to answer. Who is Jesus? Who is He? Many scholars believe that this passage is a poem or a hymn of the early church. There's no definitive proof of this, but we can see how this passage is a deep theological statement of belief about Jesus. Paul makes it clear that Jesus is before all things, He is over all things, and He holds all things together. He says that Jesus is the image of God. The Greek word used there is icon. It's a representation of God. And later in the passage, Paul confirms that Jesus isn't just some representation of God. He is the fullness of God. Nothing is lacking in Jesus. To see Jesus is to see God. To know Jesus is to know God. And this passage also tells us that Jesus created all things. He created all things. both in the material world and in the spiritual world. And if he created all things, well, then that tells us that he is not a created being. This is Paul's response to discussions and debates about the nature of Jesus that were going on at that time and still go on today. And that point is further stressed in verse 17 when he says that he existed before all things. Again, stressing that Jesus is not part of creation. And because he is not part of creation, he is able to hold all things together. Creation is dependent on him, and he sustains all of creation. And we're also told here that Jesus has supremacy over all things. Paul says that he is the firstborn. And that doesn't mean, when we use the word firstborn, often we're talking about the sequence of things. So we might say that Rachel is our firstborn. But it can also speak of supremacy. In verse 15, it says that Jesus is the firstborn over all of creation. And in verse 18, he is the firstborn among the dead. In other words, he has supremacy over all these things. Firstborn among the dead is an important thing for us to pick up, because while Jesus wasn't the first person to be raised to life from the dead, he is the first one to be raised to resurrection life and never die again. And so Jesus has power and authority over death, and he has power and authority over all who have died and all who will one day die. And this authority includes authority over the church. And then in verse 19, Paul says that the fullness of God dwells in him. Beautiful poetic words, but what does it actually mean that the fullness of God dwells in Jesus? Firstly, the word translated as dwells speaks about something permanent. It isn't a temporary dwelling place of God. It's not like the tabernacle or the temple. And secondly, the fullness of God, which you referred to earlier, means the totality of God, of his divine power and his attributes. You will not find the fullness of God in anyone else other than in Jesus Christ. Not in our church traditions, not in our church activities. In Jesus, we find the fullness of God. If you're looking for God, if you're looking for more of God, look to Jesus. Anyone or anywhere else will only give you a limited experience of God, a limited understanding of who he is. And finally, we're told that not only did he create all things, but he's reconciling all things to himself. Back in verse 6, it said that all things had been created by him and all things created for him. But our fall into sin fractured that relationship. Not just between us and God, but between all of creation and God. And so Jesus is reconciling all things to himself because all things were created for him. And we're told that he's done that through the work that he's done on the cross, through the blood of Jesus, the death that he suffered. That's the broad picture of what Paul gives us in this passage about who Jesus is. But I want to hone in this morning on verse 17. He is before all things, and he holds all things together. Because if there's one thing that's true of all of our lives, is that we go through seasons of change. Seasons begin, seasons end, and things change. But here's the thing about Jesus. He doesn't go through seasons like we do. He is before all things, and he holds all things together. Whatever season we're going through, whatever season we're moving into, whether that is as a church or in your personal life, Jesus was there before the season began. Before the vacancy, before the new minister, before school started, before getting ready to start university, before you changed jobs, before you retired, before the diagnosis, before the grief, before the relationship began or it ended, Jesus was there. Before it all began. And crucially, that means that he isn't discovering the story of our lives as it unfolds. He sees the whole story. We experience our lives one season at a time. We can only see the season that we're living in. Sometimes we can look back and see the season that has passed, and sometimes we can imagine or hope what the next season might look like. But God sees the whole story. Whatever season you're in is not the story. And God holds, Jesus holds all of these things together. That doesn't mean that Jesus stops things from falling apart, because sometimes things do fall apart. Sometimes we lose our jobs. Sometimes relationships break up. Sometimes plans don't work. Sometimes churches go through difficult seasons. Jesus holding everything together isn't a promise that our circumstances will remain intact. Held together means that even when things around us change, even when things seem to fall apart, things ultimately find their place and their purpose in Jesus. Schools change, jobs change, families change, the church changes, our health changes, circumstances change, but Jesus remains. He remains. And maybe for some of us today, we're not just part of the church entering a new season, maybe we're entering a new season ourselves. And maybe you're excited about the new season you're entering, maybe you're anxious about it. Maybe you're so looking forward to this new season because the season you're coming out from has been so difficult and you've been praying for a new season. Or maybe you're grieving because a great season is ending and you're not sure what the next season is going to look like, or you have an idea and it doesn't look as good as the season that's just finished and you're grieving about that. Or maybe things are going well and you just wish I'd shut up and stop talking about change. But remember that whatever season you're in, whatever season you're moving into, Jesus was there before it began. Jesus is with you in it, and he will be with you when that season ends. When I was thinking about the sermon, there's a song from a Guns N' Roses song that pops in my head. We don't quote Guns N' Roses enough from up front, yeah. No, and I think we should. It's my bad. But there's a song from the line from the song Estranged. And it says, with all the changing seasons of my life, maybe I'll get it right next time. And there's something very real, something human about that sentiment. Sometimes we move from one season to another and we might be thinking, well, maybe next time. Maybe next time it'll be better. Maybe next time I'll make the right decisions. Maybe next time I'll say yes instead of no, or no instead of yes. Maybe next season will be better than this one. Maybe I'll get it all together. But our confidence as Christians, the thing that brings us peace isn't that we'll finally get it right next season, that we'll finally work it out properly. What gives us peace is knowing that whatever happens, Christ will still be there in it. We don't know what the season will bring, but we do know who holds it all together. And that's true for us as a church. The vacancy that we're moving out of has been a season for us. It's been an important season. There's things that we have learned, things that we've navigated, things that we've had to trust God for. And I'm quite glad that I'm preaching on this final Sunday of the vacancy, because I also preached on the first Sunday after Darren declared us vacant. And on that first Sunday of the vacancy, we talked about some of the things that were important for us to remember. We said that we were anything but vacant. That we said that while Norman might have retired, the head of the church is still here and he's still present. We said that what holds us together isn't the name of our denomination or the name of our minister, but what it means to be in Christ. We said that Christ is the head of the church and Christ only. He might appoint leaders and call ministers, but he remains the head of this church, whether we have a minister or not. And we didn't say those things because we knew that they were going to happen. We said them because they were true. And now as we come to this end of the season, we can look back and say, yes, they were true. Not because I could see the future, but because God is true and he is faithful and we can trust him. God continued to build his church. He continued to provide for us and to provide through us. He continued to call people to him. He continued to work through his church. He continued to be present. And now that the vacancy is ending and next week we begin a new season, when Stephen begins his ministry with us, a new season for him and his family here amongst us, God will still be present and God will still be at work. When the vacancy began, it was this big unknown that loomed before us. But the vacancy was never going to be the whole story. And what begins next week won't be the whole story either, because the story belongs to God and we have a privilege of being a part of it. We don't get to see the whole story. God has revealed to us through his word what the ending looks like, where it's all leading to. Revelation 21 says God's home is now among his people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. All these things will be gone forever. But until we get to that place, we can only see the part of the story that we're living in. And I think sometimes we get ourselves distracted from that. Sometimes we spend too much time looking back and wishing things were still the way that they once were. Or we look forward and we think everything would be better if we can just get to that next season. And we forget to live in the season that we're actually in. Maybe that's why God doesn't reveal the whole story to us. Why he doesn't always reveal exactly what he is doing in this season. Because all he asks of us is to walk faithfully with him in the season that we are in. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why Paul says that Christ holds everything together. Because if he holds the story together, well then I don't have to. I don't have to know what's coming next. I don't have to know why this season looks the way that it does. I don't have to make this season into everything. I can simply trust Jesus and be faithful where I am. And that means that whatever season we find ourselves in, we have a part to play in it. To be like Jesus in that moment, in that place, in that time with the people that we meet. To be kind and gentle and loving and patient and forgiving and sacrificial. If we're raising children, to love them and enjoy them and be faithful to them as their parents. If we're starting something new, we can step into it with courage. If we're in a season of work, we can work faithfully as if we're doing it for God. If we're caring for someone, caring for them wholeheartedly, because when we do it for them, we do it for him. And if we're grieving, we can grieve and know that Jesus is walking with us through that valley. And if it's a season of waiting, we can wait knowing that waiting time is not wasted time. We don't need to hold the whole story together. Christ does that for us. But what we do need to do is live faithfully in the season that we find ourselves. Because the season matters. It is a part of the story that we have the privilege of being invited into. We don't have to wish it away and hope that the next season might be better. And we don't have to cling to it afraid of what might come next. We can simply live faithfully in the season that we're in, because the season doesn't carry the weight of the whole story. If it's a good season, enjoy it. If it's a difficult season, walk through it with Jesus. If it's a season of change, embrace what God is doing. And if it's a season of waiting, wait faithfully. Whatever season we're in, this is the part of the story that we're living right now. So let's live it well. That's what we've tried to do during the vacancy. We didn't know exactly how it would work out, but we didn't have to. We simply had to be faithful in the season that God had given us. And we can be thankful for the season that has been. We can be excited about the season that is coming. But our confidence isn't in either season. Our confidence is in the God who was before them both and who holds them both together. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, we thank you for what has been and we thank you for what will come. Because whatever it looks like, the one thing that we can be sure of, the thing we can know with confidence is you are there. You are in it with us. And you know what comes after that and you know what comes after that. And we know what comes right at the end. As we walk faithfully through the story, as we walk faithfully through these seasons, seasons of ease and joy and celebration, seasons of struggle and pain and grief and hardship. As we walk through them with you, God, we know that as we walk faithfully through them, we will get to that place where all those hardships and struggles will disappear And all that remains is what is good, because you will be there. And all everything else will be wiped away. So God, whatever our lives look like now, whatever changes are coming, whatever changes we're going through, whatever struggles we're dealing with, Lord, will you give us the assurance that you are with us in it? Will we hand the story of our lives over to you? And say, God, forgive us where we have tried to control and dictate what should happen. Yes, we have a part to play. You invite us to be a part of it. You invite us to play our role. But God, remind us we don't have to play your part in it too. So where relationships are struggling, where difficult decisions are needing to be made, where things are happening around us that are hurting us, where we have heard news that we did not want to hear, where we have had to let go of things that we wanted to hold onto tightly, God, where we are grabbing hold of things that give us joy and celebration, where we see a sun rising ahead of us and we go, this is going to be a good time. Whatever it looks like, Lord, we walk with you in it. By your Spirit in us, Lord, help us to be faithful in the way we do that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.